When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon show. This afternoon's Fodcast.
I love a Fodcast.
What's a Fod? What's a Fodcast?
It's fine.
It could be a thing about animal feed, couldn't it?
Fodcast. Like
every week. It's a podcast, a Fodcast, if you will. I think that works.
That's very good.
Justine Lorimer is the owner of the Royal Dyche Pub next to Turf Moor, and she's got no intention of changing the name.
Yeah.
She told us why.
Yep. I spoke to Bill Hayes, a very interesting
guy. Author of a book called Sweat, The History of Exercise. Yeah, he was an interesting fella. You could buy sweat for your ailments, as you'll discover.
Yeah.
And we found out about...
Disc golf.
Disc golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, sport we'd never heard of, but it's huge. We actually spoke to a Hall of Famer in a sport we'd never heard of. So that's the sort of stuff you'll be hearing. We had a bit of a conversation. Andy told us things about the Queen we never knew, which was good of him.
Well, I got them from the Sun. I can't claim them.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I can't claim them as investigative journalism. So anyway, here it all is.
Why the landlord of the Royal Dyche Pub is not for turning, and we'll discover what it's like to sprint naked and just how good a wrestler Plato was with author Bill Hayes.
Bowling Plato. Yes, a new book, interesting stuff, called Sweat, The History of Exercise.
Fair enough.
There were gym rats in ancient Greece.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing how far exercise goes back in history. Yeah.
I suppose there was a point when you just went out and had a run for fun, not because you were being chased by a wild animal. There was that was that thinking, I'm being chased by a wild animal, but I'm actually feeling better for this. So when I'm not being chased, I may well just keep doing this.
Good.
Anyway, it's 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And you can't fault Newcastle new boy Bruno Guimarães.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Oh, he's good, but he's very, very optimistic. He's set his stall out for Newcastle to win both the Premier League and the Champions League.
Yeah.
Obviously, he hasn't heard that City are signing Erling Haaland.
Yeah, but they could probably sign two Erling Haalands. They can clone Erling Haaland by the Haaland brothers who play up front.
You know, it's not as easy as that, because if you look at City, how long they've been trying to win the Champions League.
Yeah. Look,
you know, it's not just about money.
But what do you expect him to say? We're going to be in the blue square within 5 years.
I think he should be realistic. I think he should be overly optimistic.
How many players come in, though, and say, I'm so ambitious for this club, I want to get in the top eight? I mean, he's not going to say that, is he? Just not.
Be more realistic.
People don't do that.
No, I know. Okay. And one of the best sounds of sport, according to a new survey.
Oh, yeah.
Is the sound of the football hitting the back of the net, which I think is fair enough, isn't it? Especially if it's you're the away side and you score and there's that silence and you can hear the ball hit the net. That's quite good if it's your team.
Yeah, I heard that the other day, of course.
Yes, of course you did.
Mike Ward and the Brighton fans, that was an absolute joy.
Yes, it was a strange performance by Tottenham, really. And briefly on that, the second one, though, surprised me, the sound of a rugby tackle.
Really?
No. It's because, what else is there? bails coming off, I suppose.
Oh, no, I would have thought it was the sound of a ball, you know, the old leather on willow thing.
Yeah, leather on willow.
Gone down.
Or leather on face in boxing, I don't know.
Leather on face. That's not a great sound, is it? It's a great sound of sport, leather on face. It wouldn't be top of the list, would it, really?
Yeah. It was a strange performance by Spurs on Saturday, but they'll be encouraged by the fact that Emma Raducanu has been seen wearing a Spurs shirt.
I think that could make all the
difference. She may never win another game, I do have to tell you.
If you're going to throw your lot in with a team, she did say something like, hopefully we can both win some trophies. I'm thinking, no, I'm just going to drag you down to our level. Last thing you'll ever win. Yeah.
And I couldn't get to the match on Sunday, but in one sense, especially the first half, I was quite glad. It was a terrible game.
Wasn't great, was it?
They sort of cancel each other, City, Palace and Chelsea, when he decides to play like that. And I don't know. I thought it was a strange approach.
How many people turned over and watched Antiques Roadshow as the second goal went in?
I think it was a lot,
all over, wasn't it?
They had a chance at 2-1.
They did. Yeah, but I just felt, you know, I've got to be honest, it was all over at 2-0, unfortunately.
I've noticed, though, something, because I always found this sort of an incredible thing, that when the PA would go in, today's attendance, 76,446, and people would burst into a round of applause.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Why would you do that? They don't do it anymore. I noticed on Sunday. Today's attendance, the bloke turns out in complete silence. Nobody.
You're kind of clapping yourself for turning up, aren't you, really?
Really.
I like the incredulous ones, when you look around, you see all the empty seats and they've clearly based it on how many they sold, not how many actually came through the door.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit odd at Chelsea tomorrow night with, you know, sort of half the stand missing.
Yeah, so you can't buy tickets for that game.
Chelsea fans, no, they stuck with it. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
And so how many do you think you'll be down tomorrow?
Well, it'll be 25,000 season ticket holders.
Wow.
And however many Arsenal fans go, I suppose about, normally there'll be 3,000, maybe there'll be 6,000, but there'll still be a big empty part.
So they're allowed to up their allocation?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So it does skew the whole thing, but there you go.
Yeah, they did us. Obviously, I went into the afternoon feeling that the gap would be closed, but
no.
Never mind Dr. Tottenham, Dr. Arsenal at the moment.
Good performance by Southampton, but it was surprising.
Well,
really,
certainly Fraser Forster as well. Two, him and Pope at the weekend. What performances they put in.
It's true. And there's a great photo of a kid at Wembley on Sunday. He's got a massive shirt saying, Wilf, can I have your number 11 shirt?
He was holding
shirt,
a
please?
Sign, you mean?
Yeah, holding a sign of a shirt.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, no, so it's a picture of a shirt.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a cutout, cardboard cutout of a shirt, and saying, can I have your shirt? I'd just love Wilf to have had a similar one that says no.
Yeah. I mean, carrying that around for the whole game might have been... Wait, so he's got them ready. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, well, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, why not?
OK, well, we're going to be chatting to German football expert Kevin Hatchard, as Fletcher was just telling you. It looks as if the move for Erling Haaland to Manchester City is edging closer.
Everyone hoping, of course, that it'll go. It won't work out as well as they hope it will. Oh, he's going to put on weight. He's
going to put on weight? Ricky, who said that?
Me. I reckon he looks quite big. I reckon give him about 3 years, he'll be very big.
What, he'll have his own pub? You think?
He could be.
He doesn't look like a bloke who's going to put weight on.
I think he does.
He's sort of whip it thin, isn't he?
No. Is he?
What? I'm looking it up. Does he strike you as a man who's going to podge up, John? He doesn't to me either. What
I'm saying is ridiculous wishful thinking.
Yeah.
And Ricky Lambert, we'll hear from him as well later, and he was on Breakfast this morning, saying, well, it might not work for City. Of course it will work for City.
Well, yeah, you do sense it will. But the Dortmund fans, they have their doubts. They may just be bitter, but we'll be looking at some of the things they've been saying with Kevin.
Gives City an option they don't have at the moment.
No.
You saw that against Atletico, even against... There was a strange performance from them on Saturday, first half. But even against Atletico, you thought they've got no outball.
No, you know, and he's got really a lot to his game. He's not just a finisher, he's some player.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. I think we were all shocked when Sean Dyche was sacked on Friday, weren't we?
What was the point, honestly?
Decision, considering the miracles he'd worked to keep them in the division for so many years. So where did this leave the Royal Dyche pub, just next door to Turf Moor? Well, they've doubled down despite the changes. It remains the Royal Dyche. I was about to go, hello, David, the full Jeffrey Boyker. The Royal Dyche pub. Justine Lorimann is the governor there and joins us now. Hi, Justine.
Hi, governess.
Oh, governess.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, we were with you. Yeah, the governess. Are you the governess of a pub? Sounds like you've got a lot of young ladies working for
manager.
You in the bar. Manager. Yes, leaseholder.
Owner.
Yeah, owner. Owner. Okay, that's owner. Right. Well, okay, well, we've established.
We'll do one better. We'll do one
established
better.
That. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you must have been shocked. I mean, you've got skin in the game, really, with the name of the pub having changed it. So, was everybody, all the regulars, were they surprised at when the news came in?
Yeah, I think the whole town was in shock. I mean, nobody expected that on a Friday. Obviously, we got beat 2-0 by Norwich on the Sunday, but if a sacking's going to take place, you'd expect it, obviously, the day two after the defeat. So, yeah, like the breaking the news on Friday morning, yeah, it was a big shock to everybody.
Yeah.
I was reading that apparently anyone who comes in and asks for the name to change, they'll be asked to donate £1 to Pentonside Hospital. So have people been doing that? People come in and say, well, you're going to have to change the name.
Yeah, yeah. So we've managed to raise... we did a total up last night because we thought people might ask a question. We've raised £180 so far.
Well done. That's good.
So we're going to keep the jar on the bar all week. Obviously, the Claret's at home on Thursday against Southampton, so hopefully we'll probably raise a bit more then.
So it's almost like a sort of Sean Dyche swear box, isn't it, really? So anybody comes in and says that, they put some money in the pot.
Yeah, so it was actually my partner that said it. She said, look, if anybody comes, she said, if you had £1 for every time somebody asked you that today, you'd be rich. I thought, well, why don't we just do it for charity? We might as well have some good out of this bad news.
Yeah, it's a strange move, isn't it? I mean, presumably you are a Burnley fan, is that right? Would that be right?
Yeah, season ticket holder.
Yeah, so were you surprised and can you see the logic in it?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand, obviously, we've won 4 games all season. I can understand it from a business point of view, but I just don't understand the time. And I think that's everyone's biggest question. And like the fact that we've nobody now coming in to manage, they've not got a plan B. They didn't have somebody lined up. I can understand them sacking him and having somebody lined up. But who do you choose next? He's got some big shoes to fill. So who's going to come in next and obviously do better than what he's done? I mean, he's been here 9.5 years.
I mean, the royal me, I suppose, it was the first suggestion you got, was it?
Yeah,
with the caretaker.
Well, yeah, if he was in a suit on Sunday, we would have been wondering about that as well. So he's got injured at the minute. We thought he was going to be a suit manager on the side.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're only... All right, you've played a game more than Everton, but you're just 3 points behind them. I mean, it can just switch on one day. It just seems a strange thing to do, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely a head scratcher. I don't understand it at all. Like, it's very tight at the bottom. Anything can happen. We've like our run of 8 games. They're not as bad as Everton and Leeds. So, yeah, it is a strange choice. But obviously our new owners thought we needed a change. And yeah, it'd be interesting in what the next 5 weeks bring.
Dan, what did Sean make of the renaming of the pub? Was he? I think he was chuffed by. Did he ever pop in now and again?
No, he never popped in. I met him a couple of times. First time I met him was before I did the name change, and I asked for his blessing, and he was flattered. He said, look, don't feel pressure, you don't have to. And I said, look, I've already put an air board out saying if he gets into Europe, I will do. You got us into Europe. It's like our gesture to him for all that, the great work. I mean, I went to all 3 away European games, all 3 home games. It was one of the most incredible experiences as a Burnley fan. It was amazing. And obviously, those are memories that can never be taken away. And obviously, I've got to be thankful to Sean for that experience.
Mm. What do you think the difference has been this season as somebody watches the team regularly?
Obviously, the new owners. That's been the big difference for us. Obviously, when you get new owners coming in, you've not got the same rapport as like the previous. So obviously, they've got to gel. They've got to want the same things. They've got to want the club moving in the same direction. And if that doesn't happen, then obviously, it's not going to work.
Mm. And on the pitch, I mean, you know, brought in some good players. Cornet's decent. I know he was out with an injury and stuff. There's, you know, you do wonder why they've found themselves in this situation.
Yeah, I feel like we've been chasing everybody else since we got into Europe. Like the past 4 years, he's not really had much investment. He's not really had much backing. Obviously, with new owners, they've signed a couple of more. We've probably signed more than we have these past 4 years with the new owners. But for me, it just takes time. It takes time for players to gel. I feel like if we would have gone down, he would have been the right man to bring us back up. So that's another reason why I don't understand it. I feel like he's earned the right, even if we do get relegated, he's earned the right to stay.
No, that was my immediate thought as well, you know.
Absolutely.
He's done enough. He's got enough credit in the bank with that club, what he's done on a shoestring, really, to have the chance to get you back up. I see one of the other names people suggested was Big Picture, Jordan North and The Happy Place, which is a nice name for a pub.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant as well, yeah. But he's not. He's got a long way to go as Jordan to do like the work that Dash has done. I think Jordan's got a long way to go yet.
Well, let's hope they can. Does it? I mean, a couple of things. If you want to just change the name of a pub, how difficult is that? I mean, if you're the boss, you can do what you like, or is there any issues around with the brewery and stuff?
So at the time, I didn't own the pub. It was privately owned. And I asked my landlord, I said, look, I've wrote this air board, didn't think it was going to come true. It's come true. Sky, BT, they all want to know if I'm going to change the name. And I just asked his permission, and he was really good. He just said, look, as long as you pay for the signage, I have no issue, you can change the name. We knew it would be a big thing in the town, but it went national and global, and I was really overwhelmed with how much support we had and how much publicity we got, and still getting now. It's really overwhelming, but obviously it's really flattering.
Yeah.
What about the Pope's blessing, with the goalkeeper and all that?
The Pope's blessing with Nick Pope, that's not bad, yeah.
Not bad, it's possible.
That's the other thing, isn't it? Worrying thing from your point of view is that if you do go down, then you're going to see quite a few players move on,
which
makes it very difficult to get out of that division, doesn't it?
Yes, I think there's 10 players out of contract at the end of the season, which is very worrying. I mean, normally we have the January transfer window, and then you obviously hear about players re-signing contracts, and then normally we get more communication from the club. I mean, even since Dash has been sacked, other than the statement, we've had no communication. Like, nobody knows why it's happened, what's going on, who's coming in. Yeah, there's a bit like silence from everybody at the club, which is worrying. And the players, there's no players that have come out and thanked him for his work, so that's worrying as well. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen these next 5 weeks.
Well, Justine, good to talk to you. Thanks very much for joining us. All the best.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Justine Lorimer, the owner of the Royal Dyche Pub next to Turf Moor, and keeping the name.
Yep, that's the thing with owners. You don't know what you're going to get.
No. Yep. I mean, look, they'd spent some money. They brought some players in, but, I mean, look, there might be Burnley fans contacting us saying, no, it had to happen. We hadn't won enough games. It was the right time, but I suppose we'll see what happens at the end of the season.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, I don't think Maya Jammer would have got the boxing one.
She was saying, well, no, fair play. They asked that I present it. You don't expect
She's a very good presenter.
You don't expect her to be Reg Gutteridge, do you?
Not really.
I mean, that's what her job is there, is to sort of facilitate the experts. And
it
ask
helps
them
if you're interested.
It helps if you're interested. Yeah, but, a bit of sympathy.
It doesn't stop you being
it.
Professional, but, obviously it's better if you've got somebody that I'd say Laura, for example.
Maya Jammer came on and did a Henry Cooper impersonation. She started doing all that. She does them all. Fantastic. Frazier does all the impressions. Be fantastic, wouldn't it?
You like your boxing.
Who is this? This is John H. Tracy, ladies and gentlemen. It's like an after dinner set that she does.
It's a good idea. Yeah. And can I ask Real Madrid to stop using Marker to tap up Reece James?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not doubting if they'll listen to you.
No, they won't, but it's really...
But you've put the request in.
I have, yeah, no question. What else have we got? I don't know why United are complaining about the fixtures as well. It's not like they're better against the lower teams. They tend to play better, Liverpool side, against the better side. So,
they've got a run of games, haven't they? They've got you as well.
Yeah, they've got us.
You and Arsenal and Liverpool all in a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you'll see. Well, I do fear for them tonight, actually. I think that's going to be a tough game.
Mm.
Not easy. I was reading about the designer, Nicky Haslam. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Well, famous interior designer. Mm. He was talking about designing for the oligarchs.
Okay, yeah.
And he said, when Roman Abramovich asked me to design his house in London's Belgravia, I put a great big plaster classical statue of a pipe player in the middle of the drawing room. However, I hadn't realised that Russians associate statues with museums, and the then Chelsea FC owner hated it.
Wow.
What he really wanted, like all men, was a leather sofa and a huge television. He's a very polite man, but he never told me, but I heard his face fell when he walked in and saw it. He hired another decorator from California to redo the whole place.
Oh, really? Didn't like it?
Didn't like it.
Yeah. Didn't like it. Didn't like the statue. It was in Russia, of course, that we saw in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. We saw... that statue of Alan Brazil, didn't
Very
we?
Very nice, yeah.
From probably the 1600s, but it was an uncanny Alan Brazil statue. Maybe if I can find it, we'll put it on at TSH in J, and you can make your own mind up. But it was great because it was one of these animatronic things, which it was odd for the Hermitage show. As you walked in the room where it was, it went, "Manin!"
It would be great.
And its mouth moved.
I think you stood behind it going, "Manin!"
I did. Yeah, we'll see if we can find the picture for you.
The Sun did a very good thing today. They did the Queen by Numbers. I don't know if you saw this.
I did see that, yeah.
And it's quite interesting, really. I don't know how they discovered this. She has 7 inches depth of bath water in her daily 7:30 a.m. bath. So 7 inches of water. I mean,
just kind of trying to get 7 inches.
It's not very much, is it, really?
You have to lay down. It's probably a big bath.
She does well to get in and out. I can't get in and out of the bath. That's quite tricky.
Maybe she's got a walk-in bath, one of them. Maybe she want to get one of those walk-in. You can't get in and out of the bath.
Well, not exactly. I mean, I can, but it's not easy. I prefer a shower anyway.
Have you got a hoist or something at home?
Do the hoist.
A winch.
Why not? Yeah.
Now I've got a mental image of him getting in and out of the bath, which I didn't
crazy.
Want, and I'm guessing,
nobody
wants. You didn't want
I
either.
I didn't want it either.
No. So and thanks for that.
Thank you very
Cheers,
much.
Mate.
Well, you can imagine the Queen getting in out of 7 inches.
I can see you in 7 inches of water getting out of the bath, and I can't get rid of it.
And I don't believe this one, though. 2,000 people fainted as she made her way to a ball on her first trip to Sydney in 1954. Presumably it was really hot. I mean, we wouldn't just 2,000 people wouldn't faint just seeing the Queen.
Overawed. I've seen some junior members of staff that they'd buckle when you walk past.
Definitely.
And that's not
going
to get any better now. They can see you getting out 7 inches of water in the bath.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
As we were saying earlier on, there must have come a point when someone just did exercise for exercise's sake, not because they were being chased by a wild animal.
Yeah. I thought, this book's so interesting, because I thought it was much more a modern phenomenon, exercise, than it turns out to be.
It certainly isn't. The book we're talking about is called Sweat, A History of Exercise, and the author Bill Hayes joins us now. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Yeah, we love the book. It's really fascinating. I mean, what was the kind of catalyst for writing this story? What made you want to write the history of exercise?
Well, I was actually in a gym, appropriately enough. I was up on a Stairmaster just about to punch in my program. And for some reason on that particular day, it was actually about 10 years ago, I looked out at the gym floor, saw all these people, men and women alike, bench pressing, doing curls, pull-ups, chin-ups, Bosu balls, yoga. And I just thought to myself, how did we all end up here? And if I were to trace a line backward in time, where would I land? Where did this begin and when? And so it was really started with that question. And then I did years and years of research and discovered a lot of things that I had not known.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this bloke, Girolamo Mercuriale. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Girolamo Mercuriale. He became really a focus of my research. There are a lot of historical figures in this book, everyone from Hippocrates, Aristotle, and Plato back in antiquity, up to Jane Fonda and Jack LaLanne in more recent decades. But Mercuriale was a 16th century physician during the Renaissance, and he wrote what is considered the first comprehensive book on exercise, and it was also illustrated. I would have known probably nothing about it. It's kind of been lost to history were it not for a librarian here in New York City who knew I was doing some research on exercise, and she introduced me to this 1569 book. It was beautiful. It was in pristine condition. I held it in my hands, excited to look at it. And when I opened it up, realized the entire book was written in medieval Latin, which I do not read. Yeah. It took me a while to track down an English translation. I then tracked down the translator himself, and it kind of launched me on this journey over many, many years that took me to London, Paris, Sweden, Italy, where I sort of retraced Mercuriale's footsteps, India, all around the world. But Mercuriale was really ahead of his time in so many ways, writing about exercise from a physician's perspective. You know, what is good for you? How can it help you, help your health? And can it prevent disease?
I mean, you try your hand at some various things, sort of naked sprinting for one, which was saying sounds like we can't possibly go into that much detail this time of day, the way you describe it. It was an experience from what you say. Also, the fact that back in the day, sweat was sold, wasn't it? It was this kind of post-workout sort of gloop that was left afterwards, a sort of powdery sweat that would be an oily sort of gunky stuff that would be put in jars and sold on from people's day at the gym.
To drink?
Well, no, not to drink, Bill will tell us.
That is true. This was one of the biggest surprises. In antiquity, in ancient Greece, you know, there were gyms in almost every town, gymnasiums. Now, only men and boys were allowed to work out. But the sweat of athletes, of superior athletes, was considered a prize commodity. And they actually created a kind of tool called a strigil, with which they would scrape the sweat and oil off their bodies after exercising or after competing and funnel it into these little clay pots. And this, I'm sure, a very funky smelling gloop, as you said, was called gloios. It was sold in gymnasiums. The more superior the athlete, the more expensive the gloios. But it was not used, as you might think, to help, you know, improve athletic performance. It was used for some very basic dermatological problems, like putting it on to try to get rid of warts or hemorrhoids, things like that. Yeah. But if you don't believe me, you know, there are examples of strigils in these little clay pots in major museums like the Met Museum here in New York, and I'm sure in London as well.
Yeah, I mean, you could do anything from piles to sprained ankles, which is a pretty broad church, isn't it, really?
You may be interested to know that in Japan, they sell a drink all over Japan. It's called Pekari Sweat. The Pekari, the people making it, it's called Sweat, and it actually tastes like, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I had not heard of that. Yeah.
Give it a try.
Yeah, I think gloios was one of the first nutritional supplements, you might say. But no, it doesn't actually work that way. But they believe it did.
Some of the other characters, but the one is a guy called Eugen Sandow, who was a Prussian bodybuilder of the 19th century, who goes to India and it becomes a kind of, I say, almost like a Schwarzenegger style sort of celebrity. But had quite a lasting effect on sport and exercise, and yoga especially, didn't he?
He really did. He was, I think of him as being sort of like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of his day. He was a bodybuilder. He had performances and exhibitions where he would just pose and people would pay just to touch his biceps. He traveled the world. He traveled America with the Ziegfeld Follies. He also was really an entrepreneur in a way that was new, opening gyms under his name, writing books about exercise and fitness regimes. And as you said, traveling the world, he went to India where he was embraced almost like a guru, you know, a bodybuilding guru. This was also a period of time when there was this phenomenon globally called physical culture. And he was really kind of a star of this physical culture phenomenon. And he had an influence on yoga, and I think yoga had a certain influence on him. But he was quite a character and an entrepreneur and a really a trailblazer.
Yeah. You're left with some interesting images. First, like Einstein on his bike. Yeah. That's something you always see. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late Supreme Court judge, doing 20 press-ups at the age of 81 before she would enter the Supreme Court.
That is impressive.
That is very impressive.
I know. It's very impressive. I mean, it's impressive for anyone to do that many push-ups every day. But when I met her, she was a quite, you know, frail woman who had already survived cancer. And she credited her personal fitness trainer with really helping her survive and stay healthy. And he led her through the steps it took to learn how to do a perfect military push-up or press-up. And started just by leaning against a wall, you know, getting her triceps and back engaged, and then moving to push-ups on her knees, and then eventually doing a proper military push-up. And she told me she did 20 every day. And I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
Well, it's impressive. Apparently, you've got to do them slowly. It's much
harder. Is it doing slowly? Yeah. Okay, not when you're 81, Ian. No, you're telling us you couldn't get out of the bath earlier.
It'll get a mention. Jim Fix, of course, a pioneer of running, he gets a mention. And I'm surprised to see Charles Atlas wasn't in the book, though. I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't quite fit everyone in. But Charles Atlas was part of my own childhood, actually, or adolescence, along with Schwarzenegger. So this book traces the history of exercise from ancient Greece and Rome over the centuries, Middle Ages, Renaissance, 19th century, up to the present day. But also includes, as you kind of said, my own history of exercise as I explore the dynamics behind walking, running, swimming, but also try things I had not tried before, like boxing and yoga.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Listening to Tyson there, and I know last week with Jim and Simon, I think Spencer Oliver was on as well, that John Fury came on, and I think they did put it to him, Jim put it to him, just how much he sounds like Tyson, well, and listening to it there. But you were saying, I mean, it's quite rare that you get members of the, because John said we're all of the same family, you dosser. Well, he didn't call them that, but I was waiting for him to say that. But that's why we all say, anyway, so he's doing that.
It's good.
But,
it's a good impersonation.
Do you?
No, my boys do sound like me.
I mean, I've spoken to your lads. They sound like you a bit, but not to the same extent.
On the phone,
Tyson,
it's more on the phone.
John.
No, obviously not the same as that.
That's a whole new level.
That's a whole new
isn't
level
it?
Of sound.
Yeah.
You're like,
fantastic.
Yeah. People do. Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan of getting a new app on my phone, like an app. And I'm reading about one this morning. It's a coughing app. You cough into your phone, and it can tell you if you've got COVID or other diseases. It's quite clever, actually. Or if you just want to cheat on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah. Is it really a coughing app?
Well, would I make that up just for that terrible joke?
Oh,
yes, there is.
Past you.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
So you cough into your phone.
You cough into your phone, and it's
the, what, the nature of the cough?
Nature of the cough, yeah.
That's nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's an Australian, well, apparently it does.
Okay.
So, you know, save a lot of money on testing, apparently.
Right. It's going to be going off all through the show, Andy, if you've got any little frog in your throat, won't it? It could be nasty.
Absolutely. Right, be a disaster.
Yeah.
And Bristol City fans are unhappy with a drink.
Oh, yeah.
A slushy cider. I don't know if our producer, who loves a bit of cider, would enjoy it. But apparently, they charged £4.80, but Jake Gittins fumed. I don't know who he is. I love the way they do this in the papers.
He's one of the Bristol Gittins fumes.
Probably. I'm not 10, he said, so he didn't want a cider slushy.
Yeah, would you drink that? Look at the producers. It doesn't like the sound of it.
It's horrible.
Proving for a bellyache there, I reckon.
A quarter of Brits say they wouldn't give up cheese, even if they were offered a £1 million Ferrari. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Surely 75% of people would take the Ferrari. Isn't that more?
Are you writing this stuff yourself?
No.
Not. Quite fearsome. The football manager's...
Not even Alex James would go with that, would
football
you?
Manager haircuts on politicians has gone where no one would dare go before, which is right. On Twitter, which is Priti Patel with a face of Forest manager Steve Cooper. It's a fearsome sight, isn't it?
It's
really,
a fearsome
yes.
Sight, really.
And what a result for Forest! I saw the Albion fans, the Baggies fans, were very downcast after that defeat. But Forest going from strength,
they're going
to
very well.
Very
aren't
interesting
they?
Weekend, wasn't it?
In the Championship, yeah, very much so.
I saw a bit of Huddersfield yesterday against Borough. Jordan Rhodes still doing it. Down in the Championship, it was,
yeah, they're not they're well in the mix, aren't they? This is interesting. Well, I think it's a strange story. This a Crystal Palace fan had 29,000 balloons confiscated and was issued with a fixed penalty notice worth £100, all from the good people of Brent Council. They're brilliant, they are, honestly. He brought 32,000 balloons with him to give out to fans outside Wembley, but Brent Council officials seized most of them for health and safety reasons.
Do you know, the exact reason was apparently that they could spread panic if they burst.
They're pathetic.
But what tends to happen is you hear a balloon burst and you go, oh, it's a balloon. Yeah. And if there's 32,000 of them, you're kind of expecting it. Well, how shocked can you be?
You wouldn't
really
be shocked.
You wouldn't be shocked.
I just think they do this to annoy people. Then, you know, it's pathetic.
Probably not.
Well, I think they do. I can't see. There's absolutely no reason why they would have done this. It's absolutely annoying.
Well, Andy, would you have taken your own balloon there? Would proudly have taken a balloon?
I don't see why not. I mean, on that basis, nobody can have a balloon. Because one balloon could
kids
upset
parties.
Somebody.
Kids parties will never be the same again.
That's
you
right.
Can't be a balloon folder in Brent, can you?
I can be
anything else?
Well, not really. I've got only the final Queen by the Numbers.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to give us the Queen by Numbers? Andy told us earlier on that she bathes in 7 inches of water. In the morning. Who told? That must be a sort of lady in waiting, I reckon, who's spilled the beans.
It must have come out one of those, you know, memoirs that come out of from people who
it's
work
in the
palace.
It's very specific, isn't it? I mean, a bit of line, just draw a little line.
I presume
on
there's
the
either a line on the bath or they've got, you know, a ruler.
I suppose.
Well, you can't do it with a tape measure, can you?
You think she can look at it and say, I'm not getting in that's 8 inches of water.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do to me? Or that's 6 inches.
Also, that's not a lot of water, is
it's
it?
It's not
really?
A lot of water. You said it like the Queen as well. Why did you suddenly go very high when you said it?
It's just because I was surprised about how little water it is.
Yeah, it's not a lot of water, Andy.
You know, unless the rest of the bathroom's quite warm, and I imagine those palaces are quite cold. quite chilly for them, mind you. No central heating. I don't think they
can't afford to put it on.
They probably don't put it on till about, you know,
anybody's nan. It's difficult at the moment, isn't it?
It's true. But she did save £25 by buying 2 pots of Clarins face cream at duty-free at Singapore Airport in 2002.
Wow, that's good.
God, that's good research, isn't it? Yeah, by the sun today. I don't know how they knew that.
You got any more by numbers?
No, that was it, really.
That was it.
Those are the ones that attracted me. I thought the rest of them were. I thought it was a bit... I saw the gesture Ronnie O'Sullivan made at the... Have you seen this thing?
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, it's not. But the thing is, it's obviously aimed at himself.
Right.
He's angry with himself because of he's messed a shot up. And he sort of basically, he missed a black off the spot. And
yes.
So he was angry.
And he gesticulated to himself.
He gesticulated to himself what he thought of himself.
Okay.
And Matthew Selt, a tour professional.
Something we may have seen in a well-known coffee advert.
I tell you, very
ago.
Much so. That's
okay, fair
well
enough.
Done. That's exactly what it was.
Okay.
And Matthew Selt.
The Nescafe handshake,
yes,
I believe.
I think it was called that
at the time. Yeah.
Matthew Selt, a tour professional, posted the clip on Instagram with the caption, "What an ambassador." And you think, you know, you have some self-awareness. What have you won compared to Ronnie O'Sullivan?
Oh, he's scorched earth
nothing,
today.
In my guess.
So, still to come then, we introduce you to a new sport. That's very shortly. Look, it may not be new to you. You may be playing it all the time, but I'd certainly not heard of it until last week. Justin Morehouse will be joining us to look ahead to Liverpool, Manchester United, and Mark Butcher will be up as well to chat about his pal Rob Key, who is the new managing director of cricket for England, and has a huge job.
Well, he's contributed a lot to this show over the years, Rob.
We're going to miss him. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very difficult for him to rock up and have his say on the England team.
I don't think he can now.
Yeah, he's that's true. Yeah. Poacher turned gamekeeper.
More diplomatic
the other
now as well.
You'll have to be more diplomatic.
Well, if I bump into him.
Never stopped you before.
Well, that's true.
I remember once when we had...
Angus Fraser,
who was an England selector. Angus would still come on. He was on the show and he said, for me, Angus, he just picked the team. And you said, well, I don't think Chris Wokes is a test player. And he said, well, as a selector, you imagine I'd probably disagree with you there, as I've just picked him to play for England.
And, of course, I was wrong about that.
Yeah, no, it's not wrong. Like you. Oh,
no,
you're never wrong about anything.
No, I am. I'm wrong about most things. Yes, I've decided.
So,
still not overseas though. He's not great overseas. He's a much better player in England.
No, that's true. He didn't qualify that at the time.
No.
So anyway, we will be chatting about that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, it's not often you discover a sport you've never heard of, especially in this line of work after all these years, but I did last week. It was the London Evening Standard did a roundup of kind of alternative sports. And pickleball, we spoke about a little while ago, again, was a fairly new one on us, but this is disc golf. In simple terms, it's kind of golf, but with frisbees, kind of.
Yeah,
that's
too
simplistic.
Foot golf, didn't we?
Yes, we have foot golf. We've seen that, but I was surprised just how many disc golf courses there are. Apparently, I think let's have a look across the country. There are 93 disc golf courses in the UK. Because this was the London Evening Standard. They were pointing out there were six in London at the moment, but there's plenty of places to do it. There's a professional disc golf association. And here to tell us more about it is a Hall of Famer, disc golf Hall of Fame. It's obviously established enough, a sport I've never heard of, to have its own Hall of Fame. And that's Derek Robbins. Good afternoon, Derek.
Good afternoon.
Well, as I said, a completely new one on me. I've watched it, subsequently went and watched some stuff on YouTube. And you'll be able to explain it in layman's terms better than me. So tell us what disc golf is.
The concept's the same as regular golf. You've got a tee, you've got 18 tees generally and 18 targets, but you're throwing a special sort of frisbee. That's why I call it disc golf. They're kind of smaller and fairly dense, so you can throw them still with quite an amount of control, even when it's windy. And you're trying to land it into a basket with chains above it. It's a little bit difficult to describe. Some people think it could be a cattle feeder or something. But the idea is that the disc flies, hits these fairly heavy chains and drops into a basket below. And that's kind of at waist height. It's meant to be like if you're throwing a disc to somebody, that's where you want to catch it.
And you have a kind of driver, don't you? You have a kind of almost a
three
wood,
types of
three
discs.
Types a wood, a driver, and a putter, effectively different sort of discs.
Yeah, we tend to carry pretty much the same number of discs as you do clubs. There's no limit, but I carry around probably 13 or 14 on average, because you get ones for different distances. But also they have a different amount of what we call turn and fade. So when they slow down, they tend to fade off to the left. If you throw a right-handed backhand, and at high speed, they might turn right. And that's different for every mould of disc. So depending on what sort of flight trajectory you want, you'll pick a different model of disc.
So do you have par for each hole? Is it the same as golf in that way? And how long are the holes?
So your typical sort of par three, and there tends to be more par threes than par fours and fives, because you can do so much in terms of accuracy and complicated types of flight, that if you have really long holes, then it tends to just favour people who throw a really long way. So a par three would typically be, 100 metres, say, and a par four might be more like sort of 170 metres, 180.
Because of these, you said, they're kind of freestanding baskets with the chains on, and they are the holes, effectively.
Yeah.
You're not as tired as you would be on a golf course. You know, you haven't got to prepare greens as such. You know, there's probably a bit more flexibility about where you can play the game if you've got a great big expanse of land somewhere.
Yeah, that is one of the great things. You don't have to do a lot of green keeping. Just keep the grass reasonably short. But you can play. I've played courses where it's been sort of in more or less desert places. I've been played on the Isle of Mull, where there's a course on a hillside and you're on the top of sort of crags. You play in woodland. There's lots of woodland courses. You can pop them in loads of different places, really.
There's 120, I'm reading here, 120 golf courses in the UK, 52 with 18 or more holes. You know, it's amazing. There are shops. There's 11 shops that sell the gear, 30 leagues. It's quite well established, isn't it, this?
It is, and even more so in Scandinavia and North America. I mean, the top players in the States, the top two players are both get more than $1 million a year in sponsors from their main manufacturer. Wow. So, you know, it's become quite big over there, and there's, you know, there's lots of internet TV coverage and cable coverage. So it's really, the sport's just really booming at the moment.
Who's the? Let's go back a few years. I'm looking for someone who's the Tiger Woods, who's the Scottie Scheffler of the sport these days. Who's the number one?
So, you know, I said there was a couple of guys on $1 million contracts. Mm. They are a guy called Ricky Wysocki and Paul McBeth. And Paul McBeth is probably he's a 5-time world champion. So he's the sort of the, currently, in the current generation, he's the number one, I would say. But if you go back some years, there's a guy called Ken Climo, and he won the World Championships 11 times.
Wow.
So he's a contender for the greatest of all time, certainly. And
what was your route into it, Derek, as a sport?
Well, I love throwing frisbees, just sort of, you know, throwing catch ones. And there was a membership form for a frisbee association, so I joined that. And when I was 17, I was the UK overall frisbee champion.
Oh, right.
And that involved accuracy, maximum time aloft, and distance. And then went to the World Championships. This is back in 1978. And there, disc golf was one of the events. So I played my first disc golf tournament back in 78.
Really? Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
Have you heard of it? Never heard of it as a sport. No. I mean, which is probably why I believe that that there is a kind of an awareness campaign, isn't there, that look at Discover Disc Golf, a program to encourage
an app as well.
New players. So I think that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it's an excellent idea. Yeah, but now we've got a few more courses around the country. So, yeah, hopefully people can find one nearby. So there's a website set up specially to try and, you know, promote disc golf. It's called discoverdiscgolf.com. And it's disc with a C, just in case anybody's spelling it okay. So, yeah, they've already got half a dozen different venues lined up. And it'll be like taster sessions. So they might run things differently one venue to another. But there's also the possibility of getting hold of some very, very cheap equipment. And discs are not expensive anyway, and although I might carry around 13 or 14, you know, if you just got one disc, you're fine, really. When you're starting out, you're better to have a few discs and find out what they do.
Wow.
So normal price for one of those discs might be £9 or £10. I think some of these venues will be getting hold of them or selling them for as little as £3 or £4. So.
And where's the Augusta of disc golf? Where's the coveted place to play?
Well, strangely enough, it's very close to Augusta in terms of world golf. So just on the north side of Augusta, Georgia, where the Masters golf is, there's the PDG, this is the Professional Disc Golf Association, has its headquarters, a place called Appling, which is only about 10 miles from Augusta.
Oh.
And they've got three 18-hole course is set up there. They've got the Disc Golf Hall of Fame. They've got a huge pro shop there, and it's a fantastic facility. I've been there a few times.
Oh, wow. Do a double whammy, the disc golf and the golf, and you're going over to the Masters. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, look, good to talk to you. Thank you, Derek. Thanks for explaining all. And Phyllis, the Professional Disc Golf Association will have all the... Disc Golf UK... you can find that online, and that'll have all the information of the courses and how you can get involved and give it a try. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
There we are. Derek Robbins there, Disc Golf Hall of Famer.
I used to like Ken Flymer. He used to cut the grass as
well. He was, yeah. The producer was in my ear saying, come on, after Paul McBeth, we heard, is the world's best player. Let's have your Shakespearean golfers.
That's
testing.
That's ridiculous.
Davis, love Labour's lost. He's had a couple of minutes to think about it.
He has.
He's writing them down. Now, come on. Oh, please, come on. Let's have. Coriolanus paving.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, not so bad.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We were talking about disc golf earlier on.
Yeah.
And the world number one, the Scottie Scheffler of disc golf, is Paul Macbeth, to which point the producer and his best Alan Brazil in my ear said, come on, let's have your Shakespearean golf as well. He kicked us off with Coriolanus paving and Davis Love Labour's lost. Paul Rigby was straight in with Peter Alas Alice Paul Yorick. Yeah, not easy. But we there's Bard Bubka, says Paul in Qatar. Thank you, Paul. A Midsummer Night's Rich Beam, says Adam. That's very good. Yeah. Romeo, we're par four out there. No, that's not right, is it? Art thou? Shouldn't that be? Yes, no, okay, you get the idea. Par four, art thou, wow. Romeo. Lee, I'm sorry, Lee, I killed it for you. The Leeds fan. Jose Maria Othello Bell. That's pretty good.
That's
Callum,
quite good, yeah.
Manchester United fan. Yeah. Oh, come on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Anyway, we end today with just a few of those Shakespearean golfers as requested by the producer off the back of Paul Macbeth, the world's best disc golfer. Our mate Dance and indeed Sy gives us King Lear Westwood. Pretty good. The Merchant of Vincent Company. Sir Nick Falstaff.
Yes,
you with us on that one? Billy?
Why Vincent Company's not a golfer, is he?
No, that's true. Why is he there?
I got really confused there for a minute.
The Merchant of Vincent Company. How did that get through? I'm just reading these out in good faith. If music be the food of Davis Love, play on, says Russ, driving
play
across
through, the sure.
Play through, you would think so. Can we play through, mate? Much foul do about nothing, says Neil. And no, that doesn't work either. So there we are. One footballer thrown in for good measure. Thanks for all of those.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'm not with you now for a week or so.
Lovely.
Andy will be here with Charlie tomorrow, won't
you?
Yeah, there'll be another podcast. And, it's something to look forward to. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. And, about 4 o'clock tomorrow, the podcast is available if you're not able to listen to the boys from one.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.